You're listening to the 5-Minute Friday podcast episode of The Aligned Self. This is your host, Daniel Danovi. Okay, 5-Minute Friday, a short and concise podcast episode of The Aligned Self, designed to leave you with a question, an idea, a strategy, a tip, a hack, in order to give you greater access to your conscious awareness, evolving your conscious awareness, or give you greater mastery over your mind. Hello, friend, and welcome into this 5-Minute Friday. Today, I want to talk about a topic you need to be aware of. Now, I don't usually use the word need because I don't think you need anything aside from air and water and food. But if you do not have an awareness of this phenomena, this psychological phenomenon, then it's probably running your life or at least influencing a lot of your decisions. And this phenomena in psychology, we refer to as learned helplessness. Now, as the name suggests, this condition is learned. You're basically conditioned towards helplessness or inadequacy. I'll provide a few examples of how this occurs and then also talk about how it impacts your life or how it could impact your life. So first, I'm going to give you a couple examples, maybe three examples, maybe even four. But what these examples will do will give you an idea of how this condition is formed, how it may be playing in your life. And so we'll begin with fleas. Now, I don't know if you know it or not, but a single flea can jump 3 feet with no problem. It's one of the greatest athletes in the insect world. But if you were to take a collection of fleas and put them in a jar and put a lid on that jar, they would jump and hit their little heads on that lid. And after a period of time, they will stop jumping 3 feet. They will jump only high enough to not hit their head. And as a consequence, you can take the lid off and they will not now jump out of the jar. They will only jump high enough to the top of the jar and fall back down. They were conditioned that it was fruitless to actually jump out of the jar, even though now, that the lid's off, they can actually jump out of the jar. This next experiment took place at Michigan State University. They took a northern pike, which is a long, slender fish, a carnivorous fish, and they had it in a large aquarium. And in that aquarium, they put several smaller minnows, smaller fish, which it promptly fed on. Well, after a time, when the fish is full, they basically go down to the bottom and sit while they digest their meal. Well, while the pike was sitting down at the bottom of the aquarium, they slid in a pane of glass that was invisible to the fish. So on one side, they had the pike, and on the other side of the glass, they put a bunch of minnows. Well, after a time, the pike got hungry and started to go after its next meal. Well, it met with the pane of glass. It kept hitting its nose on the pane of glass, at which point it felt like it was fruitless. It was no longer possible. No matter what it did, it could not get to the food, and so it sank down to the bottom again, rather dejected. Well, the experimenters then took the pane of glass out, and the fish were swimming all around this pike, but that pike ended up starving to death because it did not want to encounter the pain of hitting the glass. It was not aware any longer that the conditions had changed. It was relying on a learned response. Now, the next example involves horses. Now, when I was a kid, we would watch Westerns, and Westerns were quite popular at that time. And the cowboy would ride the horse up to the rail. Well, I noticed that as the cowboy got off the horse, he just draped the rein over the rail and just kind of wrapped around a couple times, not very tight, didn't really tie it off. And I asked my father, why doesn't the horse just run away? And he said, the moment the horse feels a little tug, a little resistance, he stops resisting. He stops trying to get away, unless it becomes extremely frightened. Then that fear response, that flee response, will take over and the horse will pull away. Well, that fascinated me, and it brings me to the next example of how they train elephants. We had gone to the circus and I saw one of the elephants outside, and the elephant just had a thin rope around its leg, tied to a stake. And obviously, the elephant could have easily pulled it away. But I asked, why not? And my dad, and I don't know how he knew this, but my dad said it was the same principle as the horse. Well, I later looked it up. And what they typically do with an elephant when they're very young, they put a stake 3 feet into the ground and a heavy chain wrapped around its leg. And so it will go to the length of the chain, and it is not strong enough to pull that stake out. Every time reaching the end of the chain, it meets resistance. It will stop. No matter how hard it tries, it just cannot get away or beyond the length of that chain. So later, after it's been conditioned that it's fruitless to pull beyond that resistance, then they stop. And then you can just tie a thin rope around the leg of the elephant, and they've been trained that it's useless to actually try and pull it out. Now, you might be saying, Daniel, these are all animal examples. Well, you have to realize, as a human being, you are both animal and spirit. You're an animal first. You're in survival. And as an animal, you will shy away from pain, shy away from discomfort. And if you've encountered a few experiences that feel like it's fruitless, like every time you attempt it, it's just painful, it's disappointing, it just doesn't work, you will tend to not venture down that road again, because in your mind, it will not do any good. So how might this affect your life? How might it be playing in your life today? Well, let's say it's in relationships. Let's say that you've had two or three or four relationships and they've all ended, you know, not so amicably. It was devastating. It was a lot of drama. You would come to the conclusion, or you may come to the conclusion, that you're just no good in relationships. So you resign yourself to just not finding the person that you want. Or it may not even be in relationship. It could be through the dating experience. You have 3, 4, 5, 10 dates, and they don't go well. And you just resign yourself to not being or engaging in the dating lifestyle. Because why? You'll just never find the person that is really a match for you. But then let's say that you are in a relationship. Let's say that you're a man and you have initiated intimacy on several occasions. And maybe you picked the wrong time. Maybe your wife wasn't in the mood or your partner wasn't in the mood and they shut it down. Or they just recognized where you were going and they shut it off early in the process. I'm too tired. Or not now. Or I don't feel like it. Well, that rejection hurts. It's uncomfortable. It's not pleasant. And so after a time, the man may not even initiate a kiss or a hug or anything that could lead to being shut down. Or this dynamic could flow the other way. Maybe the woman wants comfort. She wants cuddling. She wants connection. And the man is wrapped up in his work or he's thinking about something else. And so she feels the distance. She feels like he's ambivalent. She feels like he's apathetic to having this physical touch. While in reality, he just needed to process his thoughts. But she makes it mean that he doesn't want intimacy. He doesn't find her attractive anymore. Let's say that you're an author and you submit to publishers to publish your work. And you submit to 3, 4, 5 publishers. And they all turn you down. They all say it's not what they're looking for. Do you keep submitting your query? Do you keep submitting, you know, your proposal? Or do you stop and say, no one is interested in my book? I could provide more examples, but you kind of get the idea. I want you to start looking in your life. Where have you shut down? Where do you think it's fruitless? Where do you think that it's not going to do you any good to move forward? Do you live in the idea that no matter what you do, you just have to resign yourself? It's just not going to work out for me. So how does this happen? The first and foremost is that we have a tendency to generalize our experience. If we encounter a particular situation and it doesn't work out, or maybe it does work out, and then we do it again and we get the same result, we will start to generalize, usually after 3 examples, 3 to 5 examples, and predict out into the future. And I've done a whole podcast on predictive future, but we will predict out in the future how it will turn out for us. And once we develop that belief, there's a mental phenomenon that plays into this called confirmation bias, that we will tend to look at the available evidence and it will confirm our bias, confirm our belief, whether it's true or not. So how do we fix this? Start embracing the attitude that anything can happen, everything can change. No matter what happened in the past, it doesn't have to predict the future. And then next, the attitude that there is no such thing as failure, only feedback. And so if you encounter failure again and again, you need to step back and take a look. What am I not seeing here? What am I not learning? What do I need to change in my approach that might make a difference? the difference that will make the difference. The other aspect that contributes to learned helplessness is, what is your locus of control? Do you feel that you're at cause in your experience of life, or are you more at the effect of circumstance, at the effect of other people's decisions? And this is why I say at the end of the podcast, live your life from inner signals, be inner directed. But if we monitor our behavior, or if we judge our behavior on whether it's appropriate or not from external feedback, then we may tend to shut down when we're not getting the response that we think we should. And again, it takes relatively few examples in order for us to come to some kind of conclusion, which has always kind of intrigued me. It only takes about 3 confirmations for us to consider something a done deal. The other factor that contributes to learned helplessness is the idea that you're fixed in time and space, that you don't really learn, that you are the way you are and you have the circumstances, and they explain why things are the way you are and you're not going to change. It's, you know, what's the use? Versus the growth mindset that, again, there's no such thing as failure, only feedback, and that you're on a continual learning journey. And that if at first you don't succeed, you can figure out a way, you can learn something new, you can incorporate a new skill. You're in this constant state of evolution. And chances are, if you're listening to this podcast, you are a continual learner. But this is where you can be, I don't know, led astray. Remember that you're both animal and spirit. So this growth mindset lives in the etheric. It lives in your mind. It lives in the etheric. You can't see it or touch it. But your animal aspect, you could be responding to conditioning at the animalistic level. This is why it's fruitful to continually assess what your response is and question what leads your actions. What's your motivation? Why don't you think it's going to work? Why is it not going to move forward? The next factor, which is similar to the locus of control, is, are you exercising your responsibility, your ultimate freedom? And your ultimate freedom is, no matter what happens in your life, you are free to choose your response. You see, many people have an experience which creates an emotional response, and they think that their emotional response is a product of what happened. But it's important to realize that it isn't the event that makes you feel how you feel. It's how you're interpreting, how you choose to interpret what's going on that leads to a feeling. And so if you had an expectation and the expectation didn't come to pass, you could simply say, well, that didn't work out. Or it's like, oh, I'm devastated. This is so disappointing. And you can wallow in that disappointment. And so in that moment, you have a choice. Do you stay in the disappointment or do you move through it? First and foremost, you don't want to ignore the fact that, oh, hey, I was disappointed. So you acknowledge that was disappointing. And then, how does this now serve me? We want to lead ourselves to a new understanding, a new comprehension of what our position is, what our role is in all this. How does this serve me? How does this make something else now possible? So we start opening up to possibility. Well, that's it. That's all I want to say today about learned helplessness. I can actually go deeper because it's so pervasive in people's lives. I just want you to be aware of it. Is it working in your life? Is it going on in your life? Until next time, this is your friend and host, Daniel Danovi, urging you to follow your bliss. Live your life from inner signals. Be inner directed as you engage in the epic adventure.